Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute. And we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
Matthew 18:23, and if you can possibly stand to honor the reading of God's Word, would you please do so at this time? Matthew 18:23 says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was bought or brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Praise be unto the living God." Would you stretch your hands this way and pray for me today? Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I feel your anointing. I feel your presence today, dear God. I can sense your Spirit moving through this service. I praise and magnify you today, dear God, for that very presence that I feel today. I ask your anointing to be upon me today, dear God, upon my body, my mind, my soul, my heart, my tongue today, dear God. Touch me today that I would be able to deliver this word in such a way as would glorify and magnify your name. Lord, I ask that your anointing would be on this word such that as it goes forward today, that those under the sound of my voice, would their lives would be changed, their souls would be nourished by this word, and that your Spirit, dear God, would make manifest within them this very word today, dear God. And let hearts and lives be changed today in the blessed and holy and righteous name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. I have talked about this a number of times. I have said it a number of times. Some of y'all might get tired of hearing it, but I will never get tired of saying it. Back in 2017, the devil tried his best to take me out of this world. In September of 2017, September 15th, I went into complete kidney failure. One kidney had died, and one kidney had shut down to 5%. And it was an urgent thing. I had gone to the doctor several days before, and they had run tests, but they took their time getting the test results. They got their lab results right there in the office. All they had to do was do it. And 2 days after I went and did my lab results, did my labs at the doctor's office, they called my house and they said, Reverend Taylor, you need to get to the hospital right now. Quit taking all that medicine we gave you. I said, okay. They said, don't stop. Don't hesitate. Go get in the car and go to the hospital right now. And I was a little bit upset. I said, okay, well, I'll do that. And I hung up the phone, and I was getting ready. I was in the bathroom at the time, and I walked out of the bathroom, and I was walking towards the living room, and I was going to tell Sister Renee, we got to go to the hospital. But before I could get in there, the doctors were calling her. Get your husband to the hospital right now. Don't wait. Get him there now. And I was like, well, okay. I said, we got up, and we got in the truck. Headed the truck towards the hospital. Before we got to the hospital, I got another phone call from the doctor. Are you going? Are you going to the hospital? I said, I'm getting ready to pull in right now. They said, fine. They're going to take you right in. You don't have to wait in line. You just walk in, tell them your name. They'll take you right then. And they did. They took me in and immediately began working on me. I didn't know I was that sick. But within just a few minutes of going in, I suddenly felt the very terrible things that were going on in my body, and I knew things were bad. And they put me out pretty much. And I woke up the next morning, and my doctor came in the room with me and Sister Renee, and he said, Pastor, you've gone through kidney failure. One kidney's completely gone, and the other one is only functioning at 5%. And I said, well, now, he said, you're going to be on dialysis for the rest of your life unless I can get you a kidney transplant. I said, no, I won't. He said, yes, you will. He said, what do you mean you won't? I said, I know too many people know how to pray. I've seen God raise the dead. I've seen too many people healed by prayer. I said, that ain't gonna happen to me. He said, fine, but until you get healed, you're going to do what I say. And they put me on dialysis 3 days a week for 4 hours each day. Let me tell you something, folks. If you ain't never had to go on dialysis, it ain't something you want to do. Because every time I went in, I come out feeling worse than I went going in. Every single time. And it got so bad that I was so weak and so worn out. But while I was in the hospital, I saw the most amazing thing. My wife sat by my side and would not leave. She sat there, and anybody that came in the door, before they started talking, she said, you can come in and visit, but we will not speak negative. We will not speak death. We're going to claim the positive. We're going to claim the healing of God, and I will not hear you speak negative. If you speak negative, I'm going to escort you out the door. And those of you who were with her at the park yesterday understand exactly how she would get. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. I got so weak and so bad, so terribly bad off. I was strapped into that hospital bed with a monitor on this side, an IV, a bag, a catheter, and a bunch of tubes and things running out of me. And it was all I could do to move around in that bed or get up and get in. I was so weak at that point, I couldn't get out of the bed. And things started happening in my body. I had to get up and go to the bathroom every 45 minutes. I'm not talking about every 45 minutes while I was awake, but every 45 minutes. And the only way I could get there was if Sister Renee stood up, took me by the arms, and pulled me out of that bed, wrapped her arm around my waist, and helped me walk to the bathroom because I couldn't do it on my own, dragging all that paraphernalia. And then when I got in there, it was such a terrible mess because it was nothing like I had ever happened before. And I was so weak that I couldn't clean myself up. And she had to clean me every time I went to the bathroom. Now, you want to talk about a humiliating experience. For me, I can only imagine what it was like for her. She wouldn't leave my side. She left once every 2 or 3 days. She left for 1 hour to go home, get a shower, and come back. And if the nurses and the orderlies weren't taking good enough care of me, Big Mama came out. and went on them. She gave them what for? Like Sergeant Carter. And there was one orderly, after she got through with him, he wouldn't come back. Okay, he was a nurse. He didn't come back, though. And it wasn't just that. I was in the hospital. Was it 3 weeks, Renee? 3 weeks I was in the hospital. And for 3 weeks, that's how I was. And when I got out of the hospital, I was too weak to drive. I was too weak to walk. I was too weak to stand. I had to be wheeled everywhere I went or carried or come with a walker. I remember the day she brought me into this church after it all happened. Y'all had gone and got me a recliner and sat it right there. I couldn't preach. All I could do was come in and sit. I couldn't sing. All I could do was come in and sit down and watch y'all have church. And she would do everything at the house. Everything. I'm talking about the yard work, the repair work. All the stuff I was supposed to do, she was doing it because I couldn't. And she was driving everywhere. And she was taking me to dialysis 3 days a week, putting me in that big truck. Can you imagine that? Getting me out of that big truck, because she's got a bad back. Getting me out of that big truck, wheeling me everywhere we went. Wheeling me in and out of dialysis and sitting there with me, watching me for 3 and 4 hours. Once in a while, she would take off and go because there was 4 or 5 nurses watching me at a time. But most of the time, she sat right there with nothing to do. She has been an absolute rock. Now, how many of y'all over your period of marriage would say that your spouse got on your nerves? How many of y'all would say that they got on your nerves so bad sometimes you felt like picking something up and beating them on the noggin? Renee still does that.
No.
I still want to bean her on the noggin. She still aggravates me. She still gets on my nerves. But do you know what? Shot this message completely in the head right there. But do you know what? Every time she gets on my nerves, every time she aggravates me, every time she makes me nail-biting mad, I remember me laying in that hospital bed.
Amen. Amen.
And I remember all she put herself through.
Yes. Yes.
And now, if I could catch myself when she makes me mad, I will say to myself, shut up, self. Because you owe her a debt you can't repay. Honey, I owe you. And I'll never be able to pay you back what I owe you. But I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying. Now, I'm going to tell you what that has done to me, folks. It has brought on a brand new revelation. Because as much as my wife did for me during that time, it comes nowhere near what Christ did for me at the cross at Calvary. He found me in the depth of my sin. He found me. He poured out His grace on me in the deepness of my wickedness, of my filth, of my horrible nature. and him being most precious, him being most perfect, him being most righteous and holy, and holy is above the word holy. He is him being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He reached way down and pulled me up out of the sewer, out of the septic tank, wrapped his arms around me, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, forgave my sin, and all I gotta do is live for him. And do you know what's gonna happen now that he did all of that for me? He took me out of a certain hell. A hell, a place that God created as a place of eternal punishment for the devil and his angels, not for us. But we were all headed there until he reached way down to where we are. And now, every time I get in my truck and I drive, I'll say, thank you, Lord, for this truck. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for my church and my church family. Thank you, dear Lord, for healing my heart, healing my soul, for pulling me out of it. And every time I sit down in my office to work or to study, his glory moves in. His glory touches me. He pours himself out all over me, and I begin to realize how much I owe him. How much he deserves that is far and above what I have the ability to pay. I cannot give him back what he has given me. I cannot pay him back what he has paid for me. He paid a debt he didn't owe. My debt. Take your finger, point it out like this. Now point it back at your heart. He paid my debt that he didn't owe. And I had a debt. Take your finger, point it out. Point it back at your heart. I had a debt I could not pay. In my daily prayers, one of the things I say, thy loving kindness. Hallelujah, dear Lord, I praise thee for thy loving kindness. I thank thee for thy mercy and grace. Do you know why I use the these and the thous during that part of my prayer? I don't know if you know anything about the Amish, but the Amish only use those pronouns, thee, thou, thy, and thine, when they're trying to say something intimate to someone they have an intimate relationship with. Any other person, they say, hey, you, them, they. But when they're talking to somebody that they love, that they're intimate with in their heart, in their soul, in their spirit, they say, thee, thou, thy, thine. And that's the same way it is when I'm praying. Sometimes when I'm praying about God's mercy, when I'm praying about his loving kindness, when I'm praying about his grace, I use thee, thou, and thine, because it speaks my love to him so much greater. It speaks to him the intimacy between him and me. How much he loves me. And he loves me far greater than I am capable of loving him back. But every time I think about what he's done for me, I think the same thing, even greater than what I think about when I think about my loving wife. How much I owe her, I owe him so very much more. I want you to take this message to heart today. Say this with me. I owe him more than I have, or more than I can pay. Saints of God, we owe him because he went to the cross of Calvary, paid the price for our sins, took upon himself. He, during the time of the crucifixion, the sky turned dark. And Bible scholars say that during that time that the sky turned dark, it was God turning his head away because he would not look upon the sin that was being cast upon his son. During the time upon the cross that Christ lay there, the sky turned dark. Every sin of every man, every woman, every child that's ever been born or ever will be born were thrown upon him. Think about that a minute. My sins. And when I think about my sin and how y'all got no idea how wicked and evil I was. You just don't know. Then I want you to think not just my sin, but take your finger and point it out. Point it back at your heart and say, my sin. And think about your sin. That it was cast upon him. Amen. He paid a debt he did not owe. You owe a debt you cannot repay. There's people, the last song I wrote, A Cold Wind Blows, I use that song to use every excuse that people have for not coming to Jesus and dying in their sin. One of those excuses is, I don't like the way he preaches. I don't believe you have to live that way. Let me tell you what you owe. You owe him the righteousness and the holiness that's in this word, whether you like it or not.
I ain't got no.
You owe him the obedience to the righteousness and the holiness that's in this word, whether you think you ought to or not.
All right.
You owe him a debt you cannot repay.
And if he says go and sin no more, that's what he means. Well, Pastor, everybody sins. Everybody makes mistakes. Yes, we do. But every time we do.
Hello. I'm glad you tuned in today to our program.
We're
going to take up prayer requests now. We got many things to be prayed about. I know you probably encounter things every day. I'm sure I do, and I know Sister Rachel does. And so there's plenty to be prayed about today. We have Sister Marion Hamer has asked for prayer. So we're going to go into prayer for her, and then we're going to pray some more.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, we give you honor, bless glory, Mary, and praise, and we thank you for touching Sister Mary and healing her body and touching every situation, Lord, that is touching her and her family today, Lord. We lift her up before you, Lord. We believe you for taking care of everything, every need she has, Lord.
Way in her life, oh God.
Now, Father, we lift up the people. There are so many with cancer. We lift them up to you, and we ask you to touch them, Lord, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. I pray, Father God, for a mighty healing to come, Lord, on each and every one of these people, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, you are our Redeemer.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
I thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
We send your word to their bodies. Isaiah 53 verse 5 declares, you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities.
Yes.
The chastisement of our peace was upon you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And by your stripes we are healed.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we claim that scripture for ourselves, for our bodies, for these people who have cancer today.
Lord.
We claim the healing power of God. We send that word into their bodies. Your word doesn't return to you back void, but it accomplishes the thing whereinto it is sent.
Yes,
Lord, we pray you have your mercy, your grace, your mighty work and healing power in these sick bodies today, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We'd like to welcome you to come out to service tonight to be with us at 6 o'clock. We have a wonderful time praying and fellowshipping We have a great time. We have after church, we have fellowship. Come and be with us. We would enjoy having you. We meet on Sunday morning at 10, and then we have our 11 o'clock service, 6 o'clock on Sunday yes. night, and about 20 minutes to 8 on Tuesday night is our prayer service.
Thank you, Lord.
I'd like to encourage you, if you feel discouraged today, if you feel down, if the devil's just been kicking you around, you know, I've had some battles with him this week myself.
Mm-hmm.
If you just hold on to Jesus.
Yes.
You know, the woman in the Bible says that had the issue of the blood, if I could just but touch the hem of his
yes.
garment. Hallelujah. If we touch him.
Yes.
He takes care
yes.
of us. Hallelujah.
Reach out through faith and
Hallelujah.
Prayer, believing.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Lord.
You're more than welcome to come and join us. This church is a loving church. We love people. Come and be with
Thank
us.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Do you have anything, Rachel?
No.
So we're just going to close out now and invite you to be with us. Come and be with us. God bless you. Have
God
a
bless
blessed
you.
Sunday.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Gift, every talent, every speciality, dear God, that you've laid upon me, I will turn them and give them to you for your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise and magnify you. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Saints of God, I remember every day the debt I owe that woman. And I remember every day the debt I owe my Lord. I would admonish you. I would encourage you to remember what he paid for you. I would encourage you to remember not only what he paid for you, but the fact that you couldn't have paid it yourself. And all of it he did was because he loved you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We've got one more thing to do today. If you will, show me your right hand. This is not only for all of us. I pray this prayer every day. Every day. Not necessarily five-finger prayer, but I pray the prayer of salvation every day. And if you're here and you need to pray that prayer, just pray it with us. And if you're watching by live stream or listening by radio or by TV, you pray this prayer with us. It's a prayer that I've taught children for 38 years. It's a five-point prayer, and each point attached to a finger with your thumb. Repeat after me, Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I know you died on the cross for my sin. You were raised again on the third day. Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.